Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow patriots. This is Matt Shea, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, which is a step closer every day Inslee remains in office as governor, because people have had enough, finally. People have had enough. Brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news, not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. And it's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. Because we can't end with prayer, we must also move to action. But we got to start with prayer, so we're going to do that right now. Wherever you're at, you are going to want to get a pen and paper. And if you're driving, you may want to pull over so we can pray. But you're going to want a pen and paper. I'm going to list some dates and some things that are going on, and also some information, places to go as well. And it's very important that you share this as widely as possible with your friends, family, etc. Now, let's pray. Lord, we know that you have opened a window of time for us as Christians. We know that you have opened a window. And for those that recognize this window for what it is, Lord, I pray that you would empower them, that your Holy Spirit would pour out on your church. Lord, that you would encourage pastors, that you would encourage leaders, that you would encourage business owners, that you would encourage friends and family and neighbors to unify in your spirit, Lord. And that, Lord, through that, we can glorify and honor and praise you and take advantage of this moment that you've given us, that hearts can turn toward your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in his mighty name. Amen. There are a ton of things happening today. So, where do I start? First, let's start in the Bible. Jeremiah 17:7-8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, knowing it through and through. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. All right. Your daily intelligence briefing. A whole ton of different things to go over. Okay, first we're going to start in Israel. In Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu and Benny Gantz have formed a unity government. It remains to be seen which positions are going to be announced. But again, for those of you that have been following Patriot Radio for a long time, you want to pay attention to where Moshe Feiglin, M-O-S-H-E, Moshe Feiglin, where he ends up in this whole unity government. Also of note, whether they begin the annexation of the Jordan Valley quickly. That apparently was running through the Knesset and kind of got lost in all of this media hype about the election. Where is that annexation? Very critical to understand that. And it doesn't matter what your eschatology is. It's happening in the Middle East. It's going to have a profound effect. So let's take a look at what's going on there. All right. Also on the international front, Sweden is coming to us from the New American. Quarantine life without a strict lockdown, and the nation stabilizes its COVID-19 cases. That's interesting. China has tried to use this situation to perpetrate fourth-generation warfare. And if you do not know what fourth-generation warfare is, go look it up. But it's more than just, you know, military confrontation. There's economic warfare and information warfare and political warfare and psychological warfare and cyber warfare. There's all kinds of different things. And for a long time, a lot of countries have been doing that against the United States. And the United States has not failed to, or has failed to recognize all the dimensions of fourth-generation warfare. Now, there are some things in place to prevent things from happening, but I'm talking as a whole, as a nation. And now it's becoming clear, they're admitting now that this virus came from the Wuhan lab. Yes, there's a documentary, great documentary by the Epoch Times, with a bunch of primary source documents that to this day, I don't have anybody refuting them. The only thing I get back is this emotional thing online. Somebody says, It just can't be that way. That's just not right. I don't agree. Cite your primary source. I don't agree. Okay, that's not what we do in America. If you have a primary source, cite it. If you don't, then you have to look at where the evidence is pointing. And in this particular case, the evidence is pointing toward a partially engineered Communist Chinese Party bioweapon that leaked from a lab. In fact, they have the three notices of the scientists that leaked it. And that it wasn't very efficacious because it wasn't in final stages of testing. But this raises all kinds of questions. Why are they trying to test this? Now, look, every country, modern country, has some sort of bio program like this. But they say it's to find cures for things. So they have to have the one so they can find the cure for it. The problem is in China, where you have the former son of a dictator in charge of this research program, then you have the grandson of a dictator in charge of the supposed cure. It's raising a lot of questions. But either way, I think we can all agree we need to move our manufacturing of medicines from China to the United States and all other strategic things. So let me give you an example. Truck parts. I brought this up a few months ago. There's a huge problem with truck parts because a lot of them are manufactured in China. So when the trucking industry kept America going, there was this part shortage. So if a truck broke down, they couldn't fix quickly. So we can't allow that to happen. There's a whole bunch of other things that we could take a look at here as well, bringing back to America, and start with these geostrategic industries. Bring them back to America now. Cut taxes across the board for all producers. Cut taxes across the board. No exceptions, no special rules. And watch the economy ignite. Cut the size of government by 50%. Watch the economy ignite. Watch it ignite. And right now, we're seeing a couple of things happen that, for those of you that have studied communist doctrine, now communists always follow their playbooks. They always do. When you have read a lot about communist doctrine, you know that one of the plans that the communists had, besides infiltrating our food processing industry and infiltrating our ports, was also to collapse our oil prices. And we're starting to see that real time. Oil prices went negative. And this plan was essential so that to the Chinese communists, so that the United States would be hit in its biggest strength as far as energy independence. So now, the numbers, I think we've had, four cases in the last 10 days in Washington State. The numbers do not bear out the actions. And I have heard, and this is breaking on Patriot Radio, I have heard from several sources that the governor is indeed planning on extending the lockdown in Washington State for another 2 weeks. And then maybe 2 weeks after that, into June. Unbelievable. And now is the time to stand up. So these sources are very concerned that the governor is not listening, which clearly he is not, and that he has no idea what the impact is going to be. And the numbers and the science simply don't bear it out. Now, I've seen a lot of people online say, oh, you should take this seriously. Everybody took it seriously. We're done. The numbers aren't there anymore. Stop lying and stop scaring people to stay home and to somehow acquiesce to their rights being trampled on. Now, a lot of folks have asked me about where the governor might get his power from, and it's RCW 43.06.220. And I'm going to get to that here in a second when I get to the regional brief. But I want I want to highlight this point. The governor is playing into the Chinese communist narrative. He is playing into the Chinese communist plan. I don't care if it's witting or unwitting. That's exactly what he's doing by keeping our economy closed down and keeping us vulnerable here. We've already had one country try to hack critical infrastructure here just in the last 2 weeks. We have other countries helping to collapse oil prices. Folks, we may not call this a shooting war, but America is being attacked right now. We need to come together and unify and stop the Marxist, socialist garbage. I almost said something else. Garbage. We need to stop it. And anybody who's playing into their narrative, wittingly or unwittingly, is part of the problem. All right, let's talk a little bit about the National Front very quickly. So, citizens rally to shut down the shutdown in Dallas. Michigan governor threatens to extend the stay-at-home orders because of the protests. Wait a minute. You're threatening to extend the stay-at-home orders because people were exercising their God-given unalienable rights? You can't... Okay, this is critical to understanding constitutional law. Every government action has to be reasonable. It cannot be arbitrary or capricious. And that, Michigan governor, is the very definition of capricious. And this is the whole point. The governor's power is not unlimited. And in fact, there are some specific limitations here in Washington state, and I'm going to get to what those are here in a second. Missouri has become the first state to sue China. All of this coming to us from the New American. If you don't know about the New American, go there now. They have a fantastic new special edition on Freedom is the Cure. I completely agree. All right. Also, and this is very interesting. Very interesting. The 5G deployment is now raising eyebrows across the country because they're now beginning to also put in smart meters at the same time. Avista is actually having a town hall, and I'm going to get to that here in a bit. But take a look at what's going on in the country. Now, Zuckerberg is threatening to shut down the reopen protests on Facebook, says he's actually going to do it. Now, I've heard that he actually has started to do that. But it's fascinating because this is on the heels of a hot mic moment. This coming to us from InfoWars. There was a hot mic moment at the White House when they got their recent coronavirus study numbers. And Fox News' John Roberts can be seen and heard openly discussing the study. And then one voice, not him, can be heard asking, "So it's a hoax?" Question mark. Because the actual morbidity rate for COVID-19 is somewhere between 0.0048% and 0.0024%. Completely bogus. We don't need to destroy our economy over something like that. It doesn't even make sense. And all these people out there online are like, "Oh, I'm afraid. You guys aren't taking this seriously. Some guy said there's going to be a pile of dead bodies if people go protest." You are a liar. And the numbers prove it. So, when people are lying to us, and especially it's been fomented by the mainstream media and people like KHQ and Krem News, when they start lying about this stuff, stop going to their network to get your information. For goodness sakes, number one. Number two, when we know they're lying to us, we stand up as Americans and we fight back. We stand up as Americans and we fight back. Also want to highlight this coming to us from the Washington Examiner, which backs up something I brought up last week, that a lot of local law enforcement across the country are concerned about an emerging crime wave because of this economic downturn and prisoner releases. Yes, of course. So the best thing we can do, open the economy back up, get folks working again, and that is going to solve a ton of different problems. And then lastly, on the national front, this is interesting. And it shouldn't be surprising. And by the way, Trump banned immigration for a little bit of time. But this is not what I want to highlight. This coming to us from Judicial Watch. This is from Judicial Watch. This is the headline, the FBI cover-up of possible Russian involvement in the Steele dossier. You heard that correctly, that the Russians might have been involved in a dossier that accused Trump of Russian collusion. And there it is. All right, moving down to the regional front. Okay, let's talk about the Constitution for a second. Again, I mentioned that a governor's power is not unlimited. They can't act in an arbitrary and capricious manner, okay? Which kind of is... So this is why closing down hunting and fishing is just ridiculous, because it does not have a tie-in. This is why closing down residential construction is ridiculous, because it does not have a tie-in. All right, so I'm going to go back to this RCW. You guys need to check this out, RCW 4306220, okay? RCW 4306220. Now, you go down to Section 2G, and here is what it says, that the waiver or suspension cannot conflict with rights under the First Amendment of freedom of speech or of the people to peaceably assemble. Okay, interesting. Then you go down to Section 4, and it says this, okay, that no orders, okay, concerning waiver suspension of statutory obligations or limitations under Section 2 may continue for longer than 30 days unless extended by the legislature through current resolution. If the legislature is not in session, the waiver of suspension or suspension of statutory obligations or limitations may be extended in writing by the leadership of the Senate and the House of Representatives. Now, here's my question, and everybody in Washington State should be asking this right now. Has the Senate and House leadership, in writing, allowed the governor to extend this beyond April 24th? Yes or no? Simple question, right from the law. What's the answer? Now, if they cite some other authority from a different part of statute, that's going to be fascinating. Because this is, quote, state of emergencies, powers of governor pursuant to proclamation. So, I'm going to be curious as to where that might be. But the fact of the matter is, this is why the legislature should be in session. And we had some rhinos out there who were doing a couple of things that I totally disagree with. The first was, we should not be in session. It's strategically not very smart. This isn't about strategy. It's about duty, number one. Number two, the only way we can really effectively represent our people is by being in session and putting a stop to what the governor's doing if he's indeed going to extend this by 2 weeks here in the next couple of days. Number three, we don't need a plan that includes task forces and studies and mandatory testing. Just here's the easy solution. Get the heck out of the way of the American people. Get the heck out of the way of our entrepreneurs, get the heck out of the way of small businesses, get the heck out of the way of our American spirit. Get out of the way. We don't need all of this contrivance. Get out of the way, government. That's the solution, and that's the answer, freedom and liberty. Very, very simple. All right. Let's move next to some of the things that are going on here in Washington State. Okay, so as far as these are events, okay, so tomorrow here in Spokane, and I'm pulling these up as we're talking, here in Spokane tomorrow at 1 o'clock, down at City Hall in Spokane, there is going to be a rally to reopen businesses, a rally for business. And most businesses are actually contemplating just opening without hearing from anybody, county or state government. Our job is going to be to stand and protect them and stand with them when they decide to do this. So this is a great rally for business. Tim Iman is going to be there, and as I understand it, several others. You can find this online, but I've been told again Zuckerberg's going to try to take these events off. So critical that you do this. Absolutely critical. All right. If you have a smartphone, download the Signal, S-I-G-N-A-L app, Signal app. We are going to be starting groups to get information out about these rallies if Facebook starts closing down. Number two, go to MeWe, M-E-W-E, MeWe. There's also another alternate site called Liberty Rush, Liberty Rush. Go there, set up a profile. That way, if Facebook's closed down, we can just hop over to MeWe and we can keep sharing information. MeWe, M-E-W-E. All right. So tomorrow is going to be the rally for business. All right. On, and this is again happening very, very quickly, a lot of different things. On May 1st, May 1st is Rule of Law Day. We are going to be doing a rally at the county courthouse in Spokane. There are going to be speakers. There are going to be speakers from a whole bunch of different churches and businesses, and there's ministry folks, grassroots activists that are all going to be there together. Now, this is not limited to Spokane. If you're living outside of Spokane County, you can do this in your county too. Go to your county courthouse, tell them to stand up for the businesses that are reopening and defend the businesses that are reopening, and also for the county sheriff to stand behind those businesses that are reopening and not side with the governor like we're seeing here in Spokane County. Franklin County, great. The county commissioners come out and say, we're reopening, and the county sheriff comes out and says they're reopening. Fantastic. We need to see that, especially in all our rural counties in Eastern Washington. Rule of Law Day, May 1st, and it actually is Rule of Law Day. Eisenhower put it in 1958, and you can check that out. I think a great day to celebrate. May 3rd, there is going to be a religious freedom rally in Olympia as well. And you notice these protests are just going to keep going until we have a recognition that the people are the government again, and we have enough unity that we can actually stand with those businesses that are reopening and our friends and our neighbors that are so badly hurting because of these just irrational policies and unconstitutional, I would argue. All right. This Sunday, Airway Heights, and I want to make sure I get the exact right information on this. So this Sunday, Airway Heights, at 9:30 is Drive-In Church. You can go to it, Drive-In Church. Facebook has that page up there. Pastor John Schrock is in charge. And looks like it's going to be, I want to make sure that we have this exact calendar right here. So it looks like the address, and I will post this on Facebook, so check out my Facebook page as well, and if not, on MeWe. It is at 14504 West Brown Hollow Lane, Spokane. So 14504 West Brown Hollow Lane, Spokane. Now, it might actually be at 3:30. I may have given you a wrong time there. 3:30 this Sunday, Drive-In Church. John Schrock, there's going to be a bunch of speakers there as well. Exercising our freedom of religion. So tomorrow, wow, open for business rally in Spokane. Next week, Rule of Law Day rally. But before that, Sunday, Drive-In Church out in Airway Heights. And then, of course, May 3rd, Religious Liberty Rally in Olympia. Now, again, the governor is threatening to, I shouldn't say threatening, I think he's just planning on extending this for 2 weeks, according to the sources that I've got. Okay, so how can we all fight back? Many of us predicted this a long time ago. Okay, great. Let's not get stuck in our arrogance of being right. Instead, take this opportunity to educate your friends and your families, get them involved politically, have them contact their county commissioners and ask, will you defend the businesses that are reopening, the churches that are reopening, the agriculture farms, ranches that are so badly hurting and are trying to deliver product to market, which remained open, they were essential, but are still hurting? Will you stand up for them? And will you, if need be, stand between the people and the governor? I've had some folks say, well, you can't go against the governor. Yes, you are supposed to. It's your duty. Everyone takes an oath under Article 5 of the Constitution as an elected official to defend the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution. When the governor begins to act arbitrarily and capriciously, which he is doing right now, because the numbers do not back up what he is saying, number one. Number two, we're Americans. Freedom comes with responsibility. Some people are out there saying, well, you know, you don't have a freedom to infect other people. That's absolutely ridiculous. If you're staying home, what do you have to worry about, number one? Number two, that is just a talking point from the left. Our county commissioners have a duty across this state to stand between the governor and the people when the governor is acting in an unconstitutional, arbitrary, and capricious manner. All right, you guys have all the information to help fight back. Now get online, get your own news groups set up on Signal and on MeWe, and start sharing information amongst yourselves so that we can be again united as Americans against this tyranny that is befalling our land. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for me and Victoria and for all the birthday wishes. I really appreciated that over the weekend, and we had a great time celebrating with family, and then all the brand new pups that we had out there were awesome. They're the cutest. I love those pictures online. Anyway, all right. You can also go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family, and remember too that Patriot Radio is on iTunes and Podbean. All right, my guest today is Joel Skousen. He's a political scientist by training, but he runs World Affairs Brief, and he is a prepper extraordinaire, I think. One of the greatest assets that we have in America on being prepared for crises like this, and always great, even-keel analysis. Joel Skousen, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio again. How are you doing?
Matt, it's just very good to be with you on this time of agony over our liberty, and I certainly support what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much, and by the way, the colloidal silver that you recommended on one of your briefs recently, fantastic stuff. So I'd like to just kind of jump right in. There are a lot of folks out there that are questioning, what should we be doing right now? Who's really behind this? Who's trying to take advantage of this situation? So if you could set the stage, and then I'd like to talk about preparation after that.
Okay, well, just to summarize what I've been publishing in the past few weeks in the World Affairs Brief, the United States, in one of their bioweapons program, actually did a lot of this genome splicing on this virus to enhance infectivity. It happened clear back in 2014. And then the United States outlawed that kind of enhancement of infectability of viruses. And so the NIH under Dr. Fauci exported that technology to China, to the Wuhan lab. And, you know, I'm not sure why they did that, except other than to maybe, the globalists have always been trying to build a future enemy in China, and they know that China is big into biological weapons. This really isn't a primetime biological weapon is just not deadly enough. But, you know, the U.S. has a lot of secret biological weapons plants over in Eastern Europe. We've got one in Bulgaria and Romania and other places. And they're working in secret, even though the U.S. claims that they've given up biological weapons. But in any case, I think the globalists knew that the Wuhan lab had very poor safety protocols and that it would leak out. And it did. And it damaged China first. But they knew that it would get around the world and give them, I think, an excuse. So it isn't that the U.S. released this. China did, accidentally. But the U.S. was prepared to take advantage of it, to use this crisis to hype it to the moon, to make it more dangerous or seem more dangerous than it is. And let me just give the two talking points I've given in the brief. Number one, even the CDC has admitted that this COVID-19 test, and there are several different tests, but none of them isolate the COVID-19 virus specifically. They actually will give positives for any coronavirus in the body. And so the numbers of infected people are way, way overblown. And then the numbers of people dying from COVID-19 are also extremely exaggerated because CDC has instructed everyone in every health and county department in the United States, including Washington, that they, even if they suspect without testing that it's COVID-19, that they're to declare any death as COVID-19. Now, I want to point out that during this flu season, we normally have 20,000 flu season deaths per year, 18 to 20,000, all right? They haven't reported any flu season deaths this year. They're all COVID-19. Now, that's the same thing that Italy did. On February 9th, they stopped reporting any flu deaths, of which there were 700,000 people infected before that date, and everything became COVID-19 after that. So you see what they're doing. They're basically saying all these thousands of 44,000 people in America are dying of COVID. They're not. They're dying of chronic disease like everyone who gets the flu and dies, or immunodeficiency. And believe me, if you've been taking the flu shot, like the CDC recommends, you're going to test positive for COVID-19, at least a 67% chance, and you're going to be ruining your immune system. And that's what really causes walking normal, I'm not saying healthy, but walking appearing normal, healthy, to get very, very sick because they've got a damaged immune system from taking vaccines. And so that's the situation, is that they are blowing this to the moon so that they can scare every representative and every doctor into following the protocols and labeling, because nobody wants to get blamed for saying this isn't so bad. And so there's nobody with any courage to take a stand and say, look, we just don't have any good data yet. The testing isn't good. All these COVID-19s are dying from chronic disease or immunodeficiency. We can't say this is all COVID-19. Just not that dangerous. You know, the whole point about testing positive for COVID-19 and not having symptoms is because it's the cold. Cold is a coronavirus. The flu is a coronavirus. So no wonder they don't have any COVID-19 symptoms, because they don't have it. Well, Matt, my situation is that I have thought up of, you know, I've got a legal background, a political scientist and pre-law major in college, worked for my father's law office, and I decided that, you know, the one thing that we need to do that everybody can do, in fact, you can as a member of the State House of Washington, is that we need to introduce a one-line amendment to the Emergency Powers Act, whatever it is, whatever date it is in Washington. I'm not familiar with Washington law, but there's an Emergency Power Act that they're basing this on. And it's filled with broad authorizations to do almost anything that they want. And this is unconstitutional because these broad authorizations have, in fact, violated fundamental rights. So here's the simple one-line amendment to any new or existing legislation. In your legislature, if they even try to extend the powers, you throw this in the legislative hopper. This amendment, one line: the emergency powers granted herein shall not be construed or interpreted to allow any official decree to suspend, undermine, or violate the fundamental civil rights of citizens as listed in this state's constitution or in the Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution.
That's
there it.
It
is. In other words, you don't have to go through the complicated process of going through an emergency powers bill line by line and amending it and finding legal language to curtail it. You just put this one sentence in, and all of a sudden, they can't do anything that violates the Constitution or the Bill of Rights in the Washington State Constitution. Nothing.
So who do you think is really behind this, pulling the strings, and what is the aim of all of this chaos? And now we're seeing one of the key markers of a Marxist plan, and that is to try to crash oil prices. We're starting to see some of these things happen. Who's behind this, and what's the end aim, and what are they headed toward?
Well, I want to finish this amendment. I don't want you to pass
yes,
over
please.
This.
Yes, please. No, I'm not. Go ahead.
This is very important because, you see, if we get all the followers of all patriot organizations to flood their conservative legislatures, and I've been on Alex Jones today, and I've been several other talk shows, and I've put this out to Oath Keepers and 10th Amendment Foundation, we're going to flood the nation with this amendment to throw in the hopper for any, to modify any existing. You don't have to put in new legislation. You just say, this is an amendment we're throwing in. Now, if you get all the followers to flood these legislatures in the nation, and combined with the protests, which are growing, and that's why these protests are very important, because the mainstream Republicans want to get these protests out of the way, because they know they're going to get blamed eventually. Now, the real power of this amendment, Matt, is that is in the difficulty the mainstream Republicans will have in countering it. Now, drop this thing into the hopper, and they will be very worried, not wanting to come out openly to admit that they want to violate fundamental rights. And if they oppose this, they have to explain on the Washington House floor why they want to violate fundamental rights. Now, I know that they'll try to justify it, saying the pandemic demands we suspend rights for a period of time, but we can counter that, saying that there is no authority in any state or national constitution to suspend fundamental rights under an emergency. And that's true. There's no constitution in the United States, state or federal, which has an emergency clause in it that says suspend fundamental rights. And if they still want to do that, then you say, you can't do this. You can't exercise these powers with majority rule. You have to get a two-thirds majority and amend the constitution. And that would be much harder to do. Now, I think this is worth the fight, because proposing this amendment, just throwing it out on the floor, will force representatives to really confront the core issue here about these excessively broad emergency powers. And just as important, to cause each representative to really examine which side of the battle he is on, that God can someday judge them on how they treated liberty. So let's not let them hide behind the facade of a complex legal emergency language or medical experts peddling this exaggerated data. Let's throw this amendment to emergency powers out on the House floor and force them to take a position that then, when you go and run against them or get other people to run against them, you can say, this is the guy who voted against an amendment to stop the violation of your fundamental rights. Do you see how powerful this is?
Absolutely. It is powerful. And also, everybody right now is on the same sheet of music, and as soon as a bunch of states start passing this, then it becomes a cascade, no question about it.
That's right. And remember, this is the perfect time to do it, because they're worried about the protests. They're worried about this building. They're not going to want to get caught voting against fundamental rights, so there's going to be rebellion, and they know they'll get greater protests. So we could coordinate protests before the Capitol when this amendment is coming and say, save our civil rights. Pass the amendment, you know, things like that. Now,
and,
as to your...
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, question, who's behind this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is part of the deep state conspiracy. Remember, the deep state is not a bunch of Obama holdovers in the Trump administration trying to remove Donald Trump. The deep state is a lethal, deadly conspiracy of power that controls every law enforcement agency in the federal government, DEA, CIA, FBI, all of these organizations that have law enforcement power are controlled at the top, and they have a whole bunch of what I call dark side agents that work for them. And there's a lot of white side agents, good people in the CIA and the NSA and the FBI, who don't know a thing about the dark side. Now, I've run into it in my career several times, these dark side operators, and boy, I'll tell you, they are unprincipled and vicious. And I believe that they've pushed this thing, and they're controlling the CDC. They control Dr. Fauci. They control Bill Gates. You know, he's a globalist. George Soros, who is funding a lot of this stuff. And their objective is to make this so unbearable to the American people that they'll cry out for deliverance. Deliver us from this. Give us back our jobs and other things. And they'll say, okay, we got a plan. You can take this protein antibody test, it's a blood test. It's not accurate any more than the COVID-19. and we'll give you your liberty if you test positive. If you don't, just stay in, you know, and then if you take a vaccine, then we'll give you a passport that gives you freedom again. So this is the trap. We've been waiting for this to happen for years with a global, and I thought it was going to happen when World War III comes along about the end of this decade, but they're pulling it early. But, Matt, I think they've overstepped their bounds. They've caused so much damage in this economy, so much damage, that people are in revolt mode. Now, they fully intend to give you back your liberty before people start dying from malnutrition around the world and lack of food supplies. They'll let up. But believe me, they'll be back in the fall, and they'll have these rolling shutdowns. If we don't stop it now, if we don't get this amendment into the legislatures and say, these are now illegal, you cannot shut down everything and take away our fundamental rights, they're going to do it again and again and wear us down.
That's right. Yep. So there'll always be an excuse. There'll always be an excuse. Yes. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Now, beware of this new vaccine they're developing. This is a DNA genetically modified vaccine. Taking your DNA, and they modify it so that they say it creates the antibodies without a vaccine. This makes you, you know, like a Monsanto GMO human being now. You got altered DNA, and nobody knows what the long-term consequences of these things. And then they're developing, of course, this patch to deliver it, which has little microneedles on it that go on your hand, which has injectable dye that can be read by a scanner to tell if you've been vaccinated. Well, I tell you, if that doesn't look like the mark of the beast coming in the future, I don't know, Matt. I mean, I'm just telling people, don't take the vaccine, and you don't need to. You know, one of the things that drives this whole agenda, Matt, is unjustified trust and respect for the establishment, medical establishment. They treat them like gods. Oh, Dr. Fauci, if he says that, it must be true. It isn't true. These people are run by big pharmaceuticals. They get payoffs from big pharmaceuticals. They have protocols within the hospital that if a doctor tries to, you know, cause or remedy or diagnose something and give a natural remedy to somebody or vitamins or minerals, they can lose their license. And that's how tight, how hateful they are about true natural medicine. So we have to teach our people in our movement, get over insurance and the natural and the established medical. They can't help you in COVID-19. Put you on respirators, and that's only because most people die when they get on a respirator. But I'm telling you, with the proper vitamins, as I've outlined, and nanosilver and vitamin C and selenium and zinc and vitamin D3, you can beat any of these viruses. In fact, if you stay healthy like I am and don't eat any junk food and don't get overweight and you keep up, and I take 500 milligrams of vitamin C every day, whether I need it or not, because it keeps my immune system prime. I'm 74 years old, Matt, and I never get the cold, and I never get the flu. So don't tell me that you're susceptible. I'm not afraid of this virus. I can beat it. And there's many, many things that I've covered in the World Affairs Brief that can help people. But get over your reliance on establishment. Don't let them inject your babies at the hospital with vaccines, and that's going to be mandated someday, so you're going to have to go to midwifery. And we need to preserve midwifery so that you can have your babies at home in a safe manner. My wife is a midwife. I delivered all my children at home. It can be done safely and effectively. So there's a lot of things that you can do to prepare against this government tyranny while we try to fight it, you know, with this amendment and stop these emergency powers.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree that disease mitigation through healthy living is the number one thing that we could be doing right now. A lot of people now have woken up. It's been interesting, Joel. We've had a lot of conversations where people said either I'm sorry or thank you for turning me on to preparedness, you know, years ago. And what do you think people could do now that we have the attention of a lot of folks? Because this isn't going to be the first crisis. It's not going to be the last crisis. There's going to be something else coming in the future. What should people be doing right now if they were never prepared at all and now they're finally listening and saying, okay, you guys are right. Where should I start?
Well, when it comes to these false pandemics, the first thing you can do for preparedness is, as you've said and as I've said, get yourself to be really healthy. Don't be obese. Don't be overweight. Exercise, you know, aerobic exercise, running and bicycling hard, you know, so that you're breathing hard for at least a half an hour. That is really supercharges your body and floods your body with oxygen. do exercises in the morning so you get your lymphatic system going. I always do pull-ups and push-ups and sit-ups and a little bit of weight training every single morning, and I run 3 times a week. So I practice what I preach, but believe me, we need to be prepared physically to do this. And then we need to stockpile. Forget about stockpiling drugs. If you're on drugs, you can get off every one of them by learning the natural alternatives and getting healthy and letting your immune system heal yourself. But you need to stockpile the vitamins and minerals and things so that you, when they ban them someday, and they may well ban them, that you've got a supply of them. Learn to grow a garden. Learn to grow herbs and things, because there's a lot of herbs that can help in these situations. Now, a pandemic also requires that people think about strategic relocation. Now, I wrote the book on the subject. It's been a bestseller for many years, and a new fourth edition is coming out this May. So people want to check back with www.joelskousen.com, and then they can be aware of when that book is going to be available. But that's important because, in fact, it's even though it's out of print right now, the PDF version is selling off the wall at my website because people are worried about where do I go to get away from a pandemic. You have to be out of a major metro. If you're in the middle of a major metro, you know, pandemics can sweep through, even a really dangerous one, which this isn't particularly that dangerous. So it's important to think about strategic relocation into the more rural areas if you're tied to a metro area for a job, into the more rural areas that can help you be safe.
Yeah, I think
I live in central Utah, and we don't have any restrictions at all. We go to the store. Nobody wears a mask. In rural areas, it's just not dangerous, even if it were a dangerous virus, which this isn't particularly for healthy people.
It is. And, I think the other thing that people really miss as far as preparedness, other than health and fitness, is spiritual preparedness. Yeah. And my goodness, it's if you don't have the right mindset going into something like this, you can easily be led astray.
Well, let me tell you the secret, in my opinion, about spiritual preparedness. The real secret, people can go to church all their lives and do the mechanical things of religion and still not be religious if they are regularly violating the little promptings that come to their conscience, warning them about things they shouldn't do, things they shouldn't eat, that they should be disciplining the children and they let them run wild, When you get to be a chronic violator of conscience, you start to dumb down that little signal from the Lord that warns you and prompts you and gets you to do the right thing and to be aware of truth. And so every time I meet these mainstream people, who don't have a clue, they obviously have got a dumbed down conscience. They aren't hearing the same signals that we hear, the warning signals from the Lord that this is really a deep, dark conspiracy and they're out for our liberty. And so I can't underestimate how important it is, no matter what your religion and your creed, if you really start to listen to conscience, you'll come to truth, because the Lord will eventually lead you. But 90% of the promptings that come to conscience are temporal. The Lord is testing us with the little temporal things about the things we don't want to do, to get up on time. And Satan comes into the same receptacle of conscience and says, you don't want to do that, you're too tired. That rationalization, that battle that goes on to your mind, you get prompted to do something, and immediately, no, you don't want to do that. You've got something else to do. There's that battle, and you've got to learn to recognize, the voice of conscience, the voice of the Lord and the voice of Satan that comes to conscience comes in, and it sounds like you talking to yourself. It sounds like it's very indistinguishable, except by the content. When you get a prompting, and immediately you say, I really don't want to do that, you've been given a prompting by the Lord that is trying to get you to something he knows you don't want to do. And that's why you're getting the prompting, because he knows you won't get it on your own. So it gives you a reminder, gives you a push. And when we learn to be obedient to that pushing and those warning signals telling us not to do that, not to eat that junk food, not to take that third helping, et cetera, the Lord is really pleased, and he gives you more promptings and more truth. And that's how I think we progress. And, of course, the scriptures, in my opinion, help you learn what it's like to listen to the Spirit. When you read the story of the book of John in the Bible about the love that he had for the Savior and the Savior for him, and you really realize that's a real person. This is real history here. The Spirit witnesses to you. And so by reading the Scriptures, it tutors your spirit how to listen and how to recognize the voice of the Lord versus Satan. But when it comes to temporal promptings, that's when we fall down. Too many people in our movement are overweight. Too many people send their children to public schools and lose them, and they become young socialists like all the other millennials. And they wonder, why are we losing all of our children? So this is what I think the still small voice of the Spirit is guiding us and warning us, but we have to listen to the things we don't like to hear in order to prove to the Lord that we're willing to take the tougher truths that will lead us to the higher truths.
In the last couple of minutes that we have left, Joel, if you could, do you think that the globalists are going to back off, or do you think they're going to keep pushing, or, you know, or they take maybe a Hegelian step backwards and say, okay, you know, there's too many protests. Do you think they're going to keep going? And then lastly, if you could plug World Affairs Brief and tell people about it and what the resources are on that great, great site.
Thank you. I think it could go either way. They've already pushed too hard and made a lot of people mad. But it doesn't look like they're willing. The people are pushing President Trump. The people in the medical field, the Dr. Fauci's and the Dr. Burks and others that are still pushing hard. They're still putting out five-point plans, and you can't open up until you get so much of a downturn. Of course, the downturns are all inaccurate because they're based on COVID-19 testing. So they want to push this, I think, their optimum thing, they want to push this far enough that people cry out and that they've got a vaccine ready, that they can trade people liberty for a vaccine. I think that's what their ultimate goal is. But if we push back really hard with protests, and I really encourage everybody to get out there and really be vocal, really be protest, they could give up early, and they could even be open to a minimum like this, at least the mainstream, the Republicans could fear us enough, if the protests are strong enough, to get one of these amendments through, and boy, then they're really in hot water when they try to pull this again because there'd be an amendment. So, but if we don't get an amendment like this, I can guarantee you there'll be rolling shutdowns. There'll be another one in the fall, another one in winter, and next spring, and they'll just keep at us until they've got us beaten down.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now is the time to stand up and push back. And so, World Affairs Brief, if you could tell listeners about it and what's on it.
The World Affairs Brief comes out every Friday by email. It's my personal letter with about 15 or 16 pages. I cover a variety of things on the world topics, the hot topics, and I do it from this perspective of what the deep state is doing, what the hidden agenda is. I'm probably one of the biggest experts in the United States on the deep state and its history, and so it's a very interesting news. It's about a dollar a week. I know people aren't used to paying for anything on the internet, but I believe... Believe me, you'll get your money's worth. There's also a preparation tip at the end of each brief where we cover everything in preparedness, including health and other things, things you can take to the bank, really good stuff written by my engineer son, Andrew. People listening can get a free sample of this week's brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and it explains people in that sample brief how to subscribe. You can do it even for a month for $5 if you want to take a trial issue.
And you've got a lot of great resources there, too, for folks that are looking up on specific things that they might be short on in regards to preparedness, everything from wood stoves to colloidal silver.
Yes, indeed, we do, Matt.
Well, Joel, thank you so much once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. I really appreciate it. I actually have already requested the amendment. And that request went in, and I just got word back that it's already being drafted. So Washington State's already moving forward.
Congratulations, Matt, and keep me posted on what that comes out. I'm an editor at World Affairs Brief. I'd like to keep in touch with you.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Blessings to you, and keep up the fight.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, worldaffairsbrief.com. If you are not familiar with that, he's done a ton of research. And he has a lot of primary source documents, hyperlinked as well. He's done a ton of research on preparedness items. So, for example, if you're looking at who to go to for an electric grid, because you want to go off grid with solar power and the best battery, he's done all the research, where to buy it the cheapest. It's absolutely unbelievable some of the different things that are on there that might just be for the niche that you need, because that might be where you're weak in being prepared for what's coming here in the next couple of years. And hopefully the next, hopefully it doesn't happen in the next 5 years maybe, but we need to be prepared. And preparedness takes the fear out of things. There's been a lot of hyperbole and uneducated smear, you know, on mainstream media. The only people that are preaching hate and fear that I see are the people saying, you've got to stay home, the coronavirus, be afraid, everyone be afraid. And oh, by the way, if you step outside your house, we hate you. You know, we aren't like that. We're Americans. We love our freedom. I trust the American people to do the right thing when they have the right information. And I know many people do. We, as Americans, need to trust that our neighbor is doing the right thing. And you know what? That's kind of the, that's kind of the part of freedom that is a little uncomfortable for folks. What are we doing as a country together to help each other and to maintain freedom and liberty? What are we doing? So as you're looking at things that are going on right now, don't be the guy that was from, you know, the 1930s snitching on their neighbor in the former Soviet Union or in Germany. That's not right. Don't be the person spreading hate that you hate everybody that is trying to reopen their business. And don't be the person spreading fear. This coronavirus, the numbers aren't there. We all know it now. It's wide open. All right. Tomorrow, again, at 1 o'clock, City of Spokane, City Hall. This is the Open for Business rally. Then May 1st, the Rule of Law Day rally, which will be at the Spokane County Courthouse. If you need more information, you can always message me on Facebook and MeWe. Blessings to you all. And may this generation truly live up to what we're supposed to be, and that is the greatest one.